found us. What about this idea?
Gotta listen to this show. Why?
Because it's about the hearts and minds of entrepreneurs. Oh,
nailed it.
I didn't even look at the
nailed
wall.
Nailed it.
I didn't even look at
all
the
right,
wall.
All right, listen. Honestly, this is a show. It's different than other shows about entrepreneurship.
It's real. It's real. Real stories.
Is it?
We tend to talk very real.
I love
and
it.
So do our guests. So come have fun with us.
Hi.
Hi. Here we are. Another show. I'm excited. What is our show?
Oh, what about this idea?
What about it? What about this idea?
We have, through the help of our guests, we've come up with this whole like thing that we should have known from the start, which
I know,
is
silly.
Yeah, which is, you know, tell us what your idea is.
I
can't wait to do this. What do we got? We need to thank anyone. Well, how do we start the show? I forget.
I don't know.
Do you have sponsors yet?
Should we
ask for sponsors?
We should probably ask for sponsors.
We haven't introduced our guest. She's edging her way in.
She's just chomping at the bit.
Do we have any sponsors yet? As Itasca Studios.
Itasca Studios.
Yep.
Soon to be Itasca Wine and Spirits.
Yep.
Is a lovely
and
little shop.
And Itasca Event Center.
And the Itasca Event Center,
yep.
Which I'm hoping that we can have a little event there.
I think we can and will.
Yes, we will.
We're not doing headphones this time.
I know. My ears feel cold, actually.
It's sort of freeing in a weird way.
It is. It's like
I hope
not
it's
even
all
real.
Working out.
Right.
I'm used to having them on. And then I can hear it all, but I'm sure it's good. We're good.
Well,
this is interesting stuff.
We're
we
pros,
are getting
man.
Right into the interesting stuff right off the bat.
I mean, people are just hooked right now because we are really bringing up the big subjects right away.
Thrilled
really
to have joined us.
Just jumping right in.
Should we just do the guests? Should we just
I think that's probably best.
Isn't that the way we should probably make it?
Most likely people have not come to hear us.
It's true, though. I know this to be very
sad
true.
But true.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm letting you do it.
Do you have her name up there?
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
You're not doing that anymore?
No, because Anthony's taking care of it.
Anthony.
Yeah, he'll
thank
do it after.
Anthony.
Yeah.
So it's my friend Stacy, which we will have your name right up on there.
It'll say, it's going to go beep across there. It's going to be Stacy Kupski. Is that right?
You got it.
Yes.
How did I teach you?
Super bad with
that.
Last names.
Kupski's. If you just say it the way it looks.
Yeah.
Kupski.
What do we think of this whole arrangement now where we're sitting like this? Are you going to be okay talking?
I know, this is weird.
I'm working out my neck.
You too much.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Usually I'm looking through I'm looking through mics and cameras, and now I can really see
it. Well, we're trying new things, which is the name of the show.
What about this idea?
What about we change this whole thing up? We change the table a little bit and see what happens.
Let's do it different every time.
All right.
So Stacy is here.
Yeah.
I am.
And you know almost nothing about Stacy.
And
is that
I
correct?
Kept it that way.
On purpose.
What did I say? I said, don't tell me any more about yourself. This
I
is,
know.
You're ruining my
he
show.
He right. shut her down in a networking meeting.
Very aggressive.
He's like, stop talking about yourself.
I
no, he didn't
to be
say
aggressive.
That. I was
really
trying to introduce her. I was trying to introduce Stacy. This is Sam. Sam, this is our guest, Stacy. She's coming on the show.
The minute you said guest,
and then he
show.
Said, don't like, say anything more.
We were having a good time until you said show. And then, he shut it down.
And then he shut it
right down.
Yeah. Shut it down.
What do you do? Stacy.
What doesn't she do? I think that in this case, the question could be, what don't you do?
Oh, that gets people in trouble doing too much stuff, though.
I know.
I don't fly fish, and I don't know why that came to my mind, but I don't fly fish. So you asked what I don't
dang.
Do.
I love
so
that.
Let's just put that out
she
there.
She pulls it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't fly fish.
I've done it.
Okay.
Is it something you hope to take up someday?
Like, no, but I'm just getting that what I don't do and what I will probably never do.
Have you, okay. I mean, are you... into racing cars?
Maybe someday. I would take that challenge.
Okay.
I would.
That would be fun. You know,
this
BMW
is a fun
has
game.
Those
Let's...
performance racetracks.
That let you go on them?
Yeah. You have to pay, I think, a lot. Like $500, like a lot of money. And you go there and you can drive the BMWs as fast as you want.
See? Now that's something I could
Goals.
Sink my teeth
in. Yeah. And what if you crash it? They got insurance.
I don't know. I don't know that part.
That's you sign the waiver.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everything should have a waiver these days, I guess.
This show should have a waiver. Okay, let's get at it.
I really don't. Where are we?
We're still learning about Stacey.
What is it you actually?
We're learning about it by process of elimination. This is going to take a long time. So
I mean, I like the idea of going through everything you have not yet done.
I do like that too.
And then like. Maybe we could do that for like 30 minutes or so, and then I'll guess.
Right.
Oh my God.
You know, yeah. Like you just keep
telling.
Do you
know how frustrating that would be?
This will
for
be a whole
listeners?
Different podcast.
Like, stop.
Why? Why would that be so bad?
Because they'd be dying to know who is Stacey.
Aren't I already dying to know? But we're doing it by elimination. Okay. So anything else? Synchronized swimming. Do that?
No, I have a story of how I almost drowned as a youth. So no synchronization.
Oh, I want to hear that. Let's go straight into what do you actually do? Let's forget this whole game.
Oh, it was so much fun for such a short period of time.
Go right into that. And then how'd you drown?
It was intriguing. I didn't drown. Yeah, correction. I did not drown. So I can answer your question, what I actually do?
First.
Oh, yes.
Let's do that one.
Okay. So I help people own their time. And I do that through helping them manage their money and reprioritize their life and live life on purpose. So that's the very short and sweet answer of what
I love that answer.
I love it.
What financial advisor says that? What wealth advisor says it that way? And that is actually the truth of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
it is.
I think I'm learning as I work more with Juliet and the people who are smarter emotionally and about a lot of things than me. I think I'm really realizing that I'm kind of just a dumb dude. No, somewhat, because I hear that and I'm like, I don't know what that really means. Like, I need you to explain
like
that.
Like a third grader.
Yeah. And I'm very sensitive. And I you know, I like everybody, so I'm not cavemanish, but like treat me as if I am right now and explain it in those terms. Like, okay, dummy, here's what that meant. How about it?
The long and short of is it's the strategies that align with your vision. And most people's vision is to not work forever or to have ownership over their time and make contributions and have work be something that is fulfilling and done less out of necessity and more because of they desire to make that contribution. So it's a lot of dialogues around vision, which leads to then a full-fledged map or a plan. And then that leads to, flat out strategies and the like. So it all starts with you as a person, which is why I talk about
this. It makes more sense.
Yeah,
I mean, but for a guy who, you know, most of my working life has been like in the trades as a contractor, right? We don't think along those lines. Mm-hmm. Like, we just are like, okay, there's a whole lot of work to get done. Let's do that. And then there might be a little money left at the end. And then that, I guess, is mine. And then let's do another big thing of work. Like, it's just constant kind of grind like that. Whereas I think this is more like if you were in the corporate world or something, like if someone was paying you to be at their establishment and you had this money and you were doing work, that you might think about how to work it all out in the future, right?
Yeah, yes and no. I'm going to contradict you because there's a great book and I will send it to you as a thank you for being on this podcast. And it's all about how do you pay yourself first, right? How do you give yourself profit? How do you work with the intention of making a profit?
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe these are things I should have learned throughout. And I'm learning them now.
You know, you're learning them now.
That's
We're all learning. We're evolving.
We're working on it. We're working on... Okay, so anyway, so you're drowning.
Oh,
and now that I understand what
diversion.
You do you have a...
She does more things, though.
Yeah, I mean, is that a business that you own and operate yourself?
Yes. Yeah, so I have two business partners, but it is an independent wealth management practice. We do still adhere to the rules and regulations of our industry, but I own my own business, which I've done that for 2 years now. February 25th is not a word. February 25th.
It's a great word, actually.
21st? It is a word if 21st. You want it to be a word.
Yeah, yeah. It is a word now. Yeah. But February 25th marked the 2-year anniversary of being a business owner and really understanding the pains of owning your own thing.
Oh, it's tough, isn't
it?
It's
hard.
Yeah, it's like all the work. You have to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and someone else is going to do it. It's like every single part of it you have to do.
And it's absolutely amazing what happens when, you know, you're rolling along, rolling, this chug of a business is moving, things are successful, people respect you, they're talking about you, and then something always happens. Something always
like,
happens.
I didn't see that root sticking out of the ground, and I tripped and fell on my face.
I had no warning that this thing was going to happen. And I think that is, you have to tell me what you think about that, because it's like, that seems to be, you know, everybody thinks entrepreneurism is about coming up with a great idea and monetizing it, right? Mm. Right? Entrepreneurism, it sounds like a disease, entrepreneurism is much more about resilience, right?
Keeping. We talk about this all the time.
I know, but I think when you think, when people say, if you were to tell people I'm an entrepreneur, right? Mm. I think the first thing they're thinking is, you're starting up businesses. You're making ideas go, and that's,
I think they think
that's like that's the easiest part.
I think they think you're stuck up or conceited a little bit too, because entrepreneur is such a big, silly word. Not stuck up or conceited. You know what I mean?
Well,
though, like
only
some part
if you
of
say it the way the French
entrepreneur.
Yeah, is that? Have we back tested this? Do we know if this is right?
Back tested. I don't even know what that means.
We haven't even looked up the word entrepreneur. We're building the meaning as we go.
We had a professor on the show of entrepreneurial, whatever it is.
He's a professor.
Professorship.
The study of entrepreneurship.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. And verify that it was about business or something. I forget. I wanted to sound so smart.
We haven't looked it up. And then when we asked a professional, we didn't listen to what they said.
Right.
So that seems right.
I did.
Checks out.
I asked a Frenchman who's a friend of mine, and he said that entrepreneur is not used the way we use it in America, in France. It is the same word, but it is generally used to describe a construction contractor.
Interesting.
That's an entrepreneur.
I want to get back to Juliet's point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You deal with the roots that are popping out of the ground. And when you started this business, the landscape was flat. And all of a sudden,
it seemed flat, right?
It seemed very, very flat.
Oh, and you had little charts and you wrote everything out and you were like, I made the ground flat.
Everything's linear. The world is now operating flat. It's perfect, right? And I think as an entrepreneur, you wake up every day and you're like, what battle am I going to face? Because that's just the reality of it, is something is going to come up and someone is going to depend on you. So I think I wake up and I kind of put on my boxing gloves and I go, what do we have to tackle today? But in an exciting way. It's kind of fun, right? You're building the muscles of being an entrepreneur.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I have a different analogy, which I won't bring up, but I... Because I've already brought it up. No, it's the same concept.
Does it have to do with canoe trips?
We thought it was dirty. Okay.
No, it's not.
No.
No, but
I mean, if it is, he hasn't said that.
No,
before.
I don't have any. My brain doesn't work that way.
Canoe trips are kind of dirty, but not in the dirty that you...
But it's every day you're waking up and you're like, we're going to eat a bowl of something that isn't great, and we're going to put paddles in our hands and we're going to keep going. And I don't know what's going to happen. Like, and then they flipped in the rapids and now I got to go save them, but we're going to get through this.
Why did you get in that canoe then? Why did you do that?
Because there's something fun about it.
I know.
I have been seriously considering the idea that maybe it is a better option to work for, not me personally, I can't do it, but like for most people, maybe it's a good idea to work for an established company that just does the thing for you, pays you. But then those people seem to hate their lives too. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
And you can't have it both ways, right? You can be an intrapreneur or you can be an entrepreneur, but there is no blend of those two.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Are you a professor of entrepreneurship? I feel like it was pretty professorial.
She is.
I appreciate all of that.
I do too.
I'm
because it's something I have to say. I know Stacey just slightly better than you do, and looking from the outside in, looking at you and looking at your business and looking at the way you present yourself and how you talk about your business and the way you do it, I would think there are no roots, right? I would think there
That's
are
a good
no
laugh.
Roots.
That's a good laugh.
And it's like, you know, life looks a little brighter, right, than your own. It's like, I wish I had Stacy's company, right? She seems to have no problems.
And you mean roots like that, that you, she would be tripping over.
Right. I just not that make I that, don't have any depth. Just,
right.
Good clarification.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I would have listened to you say that even last year and said, what a compliment. Thank you. But I think what that teaches us today is we're not talking about the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I
we're not talking about the difficulties. We're living in this highlight reel.
I mean, that's
life.
How else can you do it? Like, everybody has to believe that I'm completely and utterly bulletproof, or they'll think I'm just falling apart constantly.
Right.
Like, what, how, is there another way?
There is. There's the truth, right?
Oh, you mean being honest?
You know, this is actually, she's getting on it. It's like, that's what this show is about.
I know it is.
And it's not about necessarily highlighting, you know, the owner of Virgin Airlines.
Everyone else does those shows.
Everyone else does those shows. This show is about the grit that's involved. And what does that look like from several different aspects, right? The grit that's involved. And, you know, I'm sure people, entrepreneurs, we always are like, okay, well, if I'm going to keep being gritty about this, at what point would I say, this is not working, I got to restart?
That's not an option.
And that's not, if it was, you wouldn't have any idea when to choose it because it feels like it could be an option every like few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a clarification that you could draw between something being requiring grittiness and then something just being flat out impossible, which tells me you probably didn't do your homework at the forefront, right? Things can just be out of your homework. Scope.
I mean, I'm just saying the homework was, that was a bad idea. I never did it. No. I didn't like it. It was not good.
I want to look surprised. I really, I am working on
believe
my acting
not, I was
skills.
A fairly good student, but no, homework, I was like, you want me to study? No, anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you can have I think we all have 1,000 okay ideas, maybe a million crappy ideas and one really, really good idea. And so it's listening to say, what's that idea that is going to take its own roots or wings, something I guess could have roots and wings simultaneously. What kind of creature
this
is, we don't know.
Not that it's a mythological.
It's a mythological creature.
Something from Middle
Earth. I like
Earth.
It, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
a winged root
animal. A winged root animal, yes. That is what being an entrepreneur, a really good, innovative thing needs to be. A winged root. I'm done. I'm done.
Winged, a winged root creature.
If you can say that 3 times fast.
Root.
Yeah. Root. No, yes, I get it. I get it. But that's the second half of the show. We'll get into that.
We'll get into the
you said one good, really great idea and a whole bunch of bad. We want to hear about all these ideas, some of them.
So the other thing, I know that there are more things, right? Do you have a family?
For or, those listening, she stares at my ring.
I know she has a someone that has given her
married,
a diamond.
Yes.
Well, it's also almost as if to say, like, were you deposited upon this earth by by another another being somewhere, or do
or
have you got? Yes.
Or
is there are there other people, other humans on this planet who share some genetic?
Some
either of
that
genetic
I'm really
code
slow,
with you.
Or
yeah, like very similar coding.
Yes.
Are you a forensic anomaly? Or God.
Yes.
Who knows where the hell this is going?
Oh, yes. We don't know. I grew up, I had two incredible parents, two incredible what I call teachers, right? And I didn't know the lessons back to just being a bad student, or maybe you didn't like school. I don't think I liked the school of being a child until many, many years later when I started to recognize, oh, that lesson was very helpful. Oh, I need to lean on that, right? So
we got a lot to unpack there. Are you saying that you weren't very happy in childhood?
No.
Like, are you saying you didn't like childhood because you didn't want to learn lessons? I'm trying to figure it out.
But she had great parents.
I
got that part. Okay. That was a nice
because
tribute to your parents.
We want to do a shout out to the parents.
You had
they
wonderful.
Might be listening or watching or something along those lines.
No, I mean, haven't you ever reflected back and saying, I didn't realize how meaningful that was in my early formidable years. And I lean on that so much today. And so I think that's what I'm attempting to say, albeit it sounds potentially I'm doing a poor job.
No, you might be doing a great job. I'm not sure. don't let me influence the judging of whether you're doing a good job or not. Who knows what I'm thinking? I've got it. It's in there.
Nobody knows what you're thinking.
No, but... Well, so, I mean, I think a different way of approaching what you were saying there was it wasn't easy to learn the lessons when you were a kid, but now you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I got these lessons.
Well, I think that's the story of most people if they take the time to reflect back, right?
Yeah.
They recognize that some of the things they maybe didn't enjoy going through were great teachers.
Those are the things that teach you. Yeah. You have to go through those.
See, we're getting each other.
Yeah.
This takes a couple.
Yeah. Tell me when to jump in.
I don't know. I mean, you always come in with some good wisdom here and there. It's all good. It's just a conversation.
It's those things, you know. It's there's no one with a perfect childhood. There's no one that, even if they were the smartest one in the class, there's always something. And if there isn't, then there's going to be. To learn from.
Right. Yeah. No, I had an incredible childhood. I mean, my family was filled with so much love. I had four siblings. I still have four siblings. They didn't go anywhere.
Well, it happens. We got a whole other show about that.
We've been talking about that.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but so you're lucky enough to have four siblings who are all still with you.
They're all still with me.
Yeah. Yep.
I did lose my dad last year.
Okay.
So, you know, back to promoting this other podcast, maybe that is a necessity for other leaders to listen to.
It's true.
Grew up in central Minnesota.
That's a big place. What part of central Minnesota?
St. Cloud.
Oh, yeah. I know that place.
Yeah.
I went to college there for a little while they'd let me.
Oh, they let me.
And then they stopped letting you
transfer.
Like, you, stop coming. Sir, we've said, please do not return. No, it's not true. I left voluntarily. But anyway, you grew up, were you like St. Cloud proper or nearish?
Right in the heart of that 56303 zip code.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. My parents lived about 3-4 blocks from the church that they went to and they raised 5 kids and launched 5 kids. And
God, that sounds like St. Cloud all the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's an idyllic.
It really is.
Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
Family.
I mean, okay, and you had a great childhood except for the brief moments where you were drowning or near drowning.
But wait, I have to go back to Irish Catholic.
We're not there yet. Okay, so that's fine.
Kupski a Polish last name? Oh, that's your married name.
No, my husband's last name, yes, Kupski, so that's my married name, but it actually means little bird. It's German.
Oh.
Yeah.
Little bird. Oh. Uh-huh. I kind of like that.
I know.
Or no, Vogel means little bird. I'm sorry.
German. A little bit. What is Kupski?
Vogel is little bird.
Yes. Says Heather Boschke, and she's coming on our show in a few weeks.
There you go.
Shout out to Heather Boschke.
What is Kupski? Where does that come from? It's your husband.
That's German.
Okay.
We don't know what that means.
Yeah. I'll say sure.
You remember back in the day when everyone would put ski on the end of everything?
Oh my God, we're talking like 87.
Yeah, this is like in the 80s, they would always put ski on the end of it.
Yeah, think back in your mind and remember one of the words, like, because I know what you're talking about. I remember kind of that era, but that was a long time
ago. This is like, I pulled that out of the middle earth of my head.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure what I'm saying.
Like, Don Johnson was popular as hell when that was a thing, yes.
Maybe it was
Crockett,
what's his name,
Stubbs?
With the sunscreen on his nose.
I have no idea.
He'd smoke pot in a van down by the ocean.
Fletch?
Down by the river?
That was Saturday Night Live. Okay, we digress. Shit.
Wow. Yeah, we've got it. We got it. We're doing it.
We don't know where we're going.
No. And it's like we took a little different format because usually we jump right into, where'd you grow up? Who are you? What brings you in? And all that. But we went into business first and then kind of got into it. So we threw ourselves off. It's fine. It's fine. We're doing great.
There's never been a real pattern that we've followed.
No.
Let's be clear.
No. It's
it's all a surprise.
If you haven't noticed, we're bringing back conversations That's what this is. This is like what people do when they truly want to get to know each other.
This is what we do. If we were invited over to Stacy's house for a dinner party, we'd be sitting around, sipping in her living room, getting to know each other in some random way, right? And I'd be saying the same thing.
And that's why
meet your husband.
Yeah, that's why it's so comfortable on a show, because people are like, "Holy shit, are these people just getting to know each other? Didn't they do any research?
They really are.
Are you siblings around here? I mean, I'd be asking the same questions." So
I like it.
Right. Okay. What else do you want to share about your personal life? Do you want to talk about the drowning? What happened? Was it in LA?
We've got like a few minutes, 1 minute left in the first half. No, I want to do drowning in this half. I want to.
Okay, but I also want if we're going to do business things. I also want to talk a little bit about the other things that Stacy does. But number one, she is the president of NABO.
President-elect. Okay. I don't want to steal Nikki's thunder. So in 2025, I'll be the president.
Okay, so you got to wait your turn.
Yes.
But she's been elected.
She's not going to... Who's going out?
Nikki Roloff.
Nikki Roloff. She's not going to January 6th or anything, right? And try and... That's a terrible.
Is that a verb now?
I guess I just made it into one. You know, she's like, "I'm not giving up my post.
Come on, let's go.
You cannot have it." She's got a whole legion of people that are going to go storm
the
conference
NABO
room somewhere.
Headquarters. And,
No, she's a better person than that. Is what you're saying?
She is a better person.
I think most people are. Yeah, most people don't do that. But
I agree. I mean, we're not going to talk about politics
here.
I think we had a heads up that January 6th might happen. I mean, it wasn't like it was super surprising.
You know what?
Right? So this we know is not going to happen. NABO is in safe hands with the current president and the president-elect. And NABO stands for?
The National Association of Women Business Owners. And we are a Minnesota chapter, so it's a national organization. Pretty exciting note that next year will be NABO's 50th year. So it's 50 years of celebrating women entrepreneurs supporting them.
It started before women were able to own businesses or have credit cards,
It was instrumental in helping women to accomplish all of this.
Yeah, I know. And I'm making a little bit of a joke at our past, but I think it's important that people know that 50 years ago in the past, women were not afforded still very many rights. Mm-hmm. And it's not like everything's got caught up and everything's great, but it's a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. Than it used to be on the backs of a lot of very strong women doing, and I'm a dude. You guys should be saying this probably, right?
No, women had to lean
it's
on.
Good that you are saying it. Thank you.
Oh, it's the truth, though. It is the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. You know,
they had to lean on, parents, a dad, a brother, sometimes even a child. Can you imagine going to your child to say, "Hi, co-sign this loan for me so I can get my business off the ground"?
Because the banks weren't going to let you.
Yeah, humbling would that have been?
Oh,
it still happens now.
Humbling. Yeah.
It still happens now.
Isn't there a different word, which is degrading?
Degrading.
Yeah. How degrading.
Yeah.
That would, to be like, okay, well, I'm not quite in the, and there were still a lot of strong women throughout history before that too, who did really crazy pioneering things. But like the average woman couldn't go get a bank account, a credit card, start a business, even 50 years ago or whatever.
Right. Well, even today. So I have a friend of mine is a plastic surgeon. I haven't used her. Obviously.
Well, because you just don't need
it. She just opened up another office. Like, she's been in business for 10 years. And her husband, who's a stay-at-home husband, had to co-sign for her office space.
That's sick.
Steve walked through the door and they're like, "Oh, yeah, you got a man? All right, we'll give you a loan now."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If it were flipped, would it?
Well, so we don't do politics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't do politics, but I think it's appropriate that we could say that January 6th was not a great thing for the world to happen. And I think we don't really get into the politics. It's not a show about women's something or other, whatever. Not liberation anymore. Empowerment, women's empowerment. But at the same time, it's important that we point out these actual truths in the world.
Exactly. Yep. Well, and even January 6th, I mean, just to take it lightly at a very large, high level, we were just talking about that. The bumps in the road as a kid were the ones that shaped us to be who we are and the strength of who we are.
Hmm.
There is a story that says the further away we get away from that situation, the stronger we are.
And the more we should reflect on that, whether it was good or bad or whatever. Yeah.
If we're going to visualize something great, let's Let's do that. Mm. Even wow. from the bumps, right? Mm-hmm.
So this drowning.
It's not even a great story.
No, I'm sure it's not. And it's been, I'm not saying I'm sure it's not. It's been built up so much that we've completely, now we've put you on the spot.
Was it a lake? Was it a pool?
Where were you?
Did they have to suck the water out of your lungs?
No, they didn't. Oh. So, all right, we'll rip the Band-Aid off. This story is somehow become part of the podcast. You're welcome. So when I was younger, I wasn't exceptionally athletic, mainly because I was long and lean and very...
Sinky.
I just was not... I was uncoordinated. But what I always was a participator. So my parents put us all in swimming lessons. Great thing to do. One way or another, I thought the bottom of the pool was the top of the pool. Let's just be fair. There was a very large whale mural painted on the side of this pool, and I had a little panic attack under the water. So I started swimming in the wrong direction. Obviously, I live to tell about it, but that is the story.
Did they have to yank you out of the pool?
Yeah, they did.
You had to be rescued? Yeah. I had, so... just briefly, I worked at a place where we had kids at this place. Mm. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. But when the kids come, you got to assess their ability to swim, mm-hmm. right? And so you walk out to the end of the dock with all of the kids, and the one counselor says, "Can you swim?" And if they say yes, they jump in the lake, and then they prove to you that they can at least tread water and float, right? Mm-hmm. And we had these two boys who were so cute, but they're like, "Yeah, we can swim." And they jumped in and sank right to the bottom of the lake. And two counselors had to, they were like, they said they could swim, but they're just down there, just sitting there. And they had to jump in and rescue them. Like, no, you can't swim, kid. Anyway, so you couldn't.
I couldn't swim.
The whale, you were sinky. You were too little.
Yeah, too little.
And not enough meat on your bones. Nothing buoyant. You just went blink.
Maybe. I think I was going headlong into the deep. Like I was swimming towards the bottom because I had a panic attack under the water. But here's the moral of the story. I got back in the water. I think maybe that next week or the next swimming lesson after that.
Yeah, you're a kid.
I was a kid. Resilient.
You're like, yeah.
Were you scared? Do you remember
when it happened?
I mean, when you went back?
No, I don't think so. I just forgot about it.
You're a kid. You get over it.
It's just I have to go to swimming lessons to get the certificate, and I want the certificate more than I'm afraid of getting in the water, which is probably a good lesson for entrepreneurship.
Are you,
so look at us making a positive out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I love it.
Yeah. I learned how to swim in White Bear Lake mm-hmm. in like. Swimming lessons were at the beach at
yeah.
the lake, right?
Yeah.
And that was probably the best way to get swimming lessons. Not in a pool. You had to be kind of scrappy. You had to put your feet on the ground.
Oh, it's a little different.
It's a little different. Yeah. We all did that. And I remember passing whatever levels there were and then promptly getting made fun of because there was like seaweed hanging out of my whatever it was, right?
But you did it.
Yeah, and I'm like, if they called me seaweed pants or something like that for such a long time.
Shame on me.
I'm like, when is this name going to die? And then it did die, but...
Should we shift to, like, therapy session in the second half? We can talk about, just go back to all the things from our youth. I can do that.
Could we?
Yeah, that's an interesting show too, I'm sure,
that
right?
She's totally in.
I don't think
we should actually call it therapy because I think we'd all really fail.
Oh no, it's like amateur therapy.
Let's like tell each other what to do and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can just talk about the sort of some of the traumatic things that happened to us as kids and see.
You know, that's funny that you say that because I'm going to make one more point about swimming.
Let's do
right?
it.
So it's like, you know how both my kids, I have a 26-year-old and a 21-year-old. And looking back through the ages, I can see their personality in their baby,
oh, sure.
right?
Yeah.
In the way they were a baby. So it's coming back to the swimming. So my daughter, she's going to love that I'm telling this story.
Oh, yeah.
But most likely she doesn't listen to this podcast.
No.
So her loss.
Yeah.
So my daughter was having to pass, I think it was like whatever level it was where you had to, the last thing you had to do to pass is jump off the diving board, mm. right? The last thing you had to do. And for some reason, the fear of jumping off the diving board for her, even though they're like swim teachers in the water ready to catch you.
And it's not the high one.
No, it's not the high one. It's just right. a regular diving board. Yeah. She spent 45 minutes going to the end of that diving board and looking at the water and starting to shake and then double back and let somebody else go. She did it for 45 minutes. By the time she finally jumped in, the entire place mm-hmm. was like standing and cheering oh. and like, go, go, go. You can mm-hmm. do this, Savannah. And oh, so as soon as she,
so, cute.
So she jumped in the water, right? And then realized that this is a joyous experience.
And you're and alive.
It's like the end of swim lessons. So then she's like, I want to do it again, you know?
Right.
And but it took her 45 minutes mm-hmm. to
but
do
she
that.
It.
She did do it, but that is her personality, right?
She takes
She'll
45
assess.
Minutes.
I mean, mm-hmm. from always has been her personality.
Yeah.
She will assess, she will assess, she will assess, mm-hmm. she will assess, analysis, paralysis, analysis. And then she'll and do then it. She'll and then she'll be like, oh, that's cool. I can do that. No problem.
Yeah.
And she's a chemical engineer right now. So just even understanding that story about herself has catapulted her mm-hmm. into really hard things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
She's not going to listen to this. If she listens, and Savannah, if you're listening, just like put a little note down underneath, maybe, you know, on the YouTube or whatever, you know, just to, you know.
It's become
wrong or right.
our private show to just to
I mean,
talk
it's okay, I'm
to,
here
to
for
address
you.
Our family.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I like it. Thanks.
And that's half the show. Hey.
Break time.
Break time. Are we going to do the...
Are we karate chopping?
We can do...
We've already started, Juliet. Just
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're back for
and
the second...
And we are back.
Second half. Here we are.
We have visited the... What will be called the Itasca Wine and Spirits.
Mm.
It is currently called the Underground, and they are rebranding.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And we have grabbed a bottle of Jules Taylor... Sauvignon Blanc from the Marlborough region. And we find it to be a bit...
2022.
We find it to be a bit grapefruity, didn't mm-hmm. we? Mm-hmm. But still good and yummy. Mm-hmm.
I look awful in my camera. This has got to be...
We're recording.
I know we are. I know we are, but it's got to be a show about the two of you. I look terrible. You're both very pretty.
Oh,
we're just going to make
we'll
it.
Have a conversation.
Tell me more about.
We're just
going to
make the editor. I'm just going to make the editor get rid of me. It's going to be your show.
No,
it should be.
Come
it needs to
you
be
look,
that way.
You look great.
I don't know. I'm not loving it.
I'll make you a bet. If
I don't
I was
really
looking
care.
At my video. I know you're looking at my video. But if I was looking at my video, I would be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't look at the
it's
video.
It's pretty painful to mm-hmm. sit and watch yourself mm-hmm. on video. Stacey Kupski. Today's guest. I don't know. We kind of really got into it there that first half. We got into some stuff, I think. Where are we going with the second half? What are we? So what are the other things that you do kind of professionally?
So
we'll start there.
In my day-to-day business or in general with NABO, what we can go either.
Kind oh, of was it the NABO was the other one that you
yeah.
wanted?
Yeah, we already did that.
We can unpack them if someone's interested in building.
I want to talk about
community.
Your other business. I have a couple questions for you.
Absolutely.
So you have a couple partners.
I have two business partners.
And you are all founders together?
Correct.
Did you work together before?
We did, yes.
You did?
So my Genesis story, I typically say I fell into finance. This was my second career, first time owning a business, but my second career. And I was a marketer by trade. I kind of have that creative mind, but I've always loved the analytical side. So I fell into this business by just asking to work within another small business. So kind of my pathway was always marketing and processes within various small
you can't
businesses.
Go from marketing
yes,
to
you can.
Finance.
Yes, you can.
That doesn't make any
sense. It makes complete sense. It didn't at the time because I had never seen anyone do it. But
yeah, right.
I might be the Lone Ranger. But I worked within an ad agency right out of college. I was an account executive because that was my way of serving people. That's what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to serve people. I knew that's what my parents taught us: is you go serve others. But I didn't find it as rewarding as I thought. And everyone always an ad agency, and always people tried to push me into sales, and I said, I'm not built for sales. I don't want to.
Ad agency work kind of like just a total like soul grinding kind of thing in a certain way, or can't it be?
Well, I wasn't on the production side. I would sell the packages, right? So primarily to staffing companies is who that ad agency worked with. So
you would sell ad packages to these staffing companies.
And primarily service them. So I was brought on to kind of service that subset of clients.
Oh, well, yeah. You can go from that into
I think
finance.
So.
Yeah,
I
no, that, so. That's because that's... Yeah. That's the technical side of it, the smart person side. That's like such a weird thing.
I don't know if he's calling me dumb or not.
I'm not sure either.
No, that was the smart person side. No, that's
good. But I think that is actually, were you good at math?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah. That is the mathematicians, mm-hmm. Let me say it that way, mathematicians are known to be extremely creative. Mm. And so if you like math, you would think that's not where it leads you into a creative career. But it is it's a creative mindset, mathematics. And so I kind of could see it. Were you good at math? You were good at math.
I was very good at math, very good at art. And I didn't have you in my life when I was 17 making decisions. So, you know, I rolled the dice and I said, you know, I don't know Juliet yet. So let's just try this route.
She's and now that you do know her, she's like, so influenced. She's influenced your life so much.
Right. She would have counseled me to do something probably with a blend of both, which is what I ultimately ended up doing. And I think I felt unfulfilled because I was really focused on one side of my brain and I'm kind of leaving the other side of this skill set on the table, if you will. Right. I wasn't using enough of my analytical side. So it became, I wouldn't say dull, but it just wasn't fulfilling. It just wasn't.
Yeah. We get pigeonholed into those things. It's like, I'm a creative, right? I can soar in this area and then you aren't completely fulfilled because we've been pigeonholing people. Okay. So you went from marketing.
I went from an ad agency to working within very small businesses. So there were three small businesses and I helped them primarily with organization and process because that's kind of how I'm hardwired, is to take a big old mess and make something of it. Something simple, something beautiful, something dynamic, something useful. That's just kind of how I'm wired. So I went into these businesses and just kind of helped them, right? With anything from process to sometimes it was marketing, but we know what it's like to run a small business.
Very helpful.
Well, I mean, if you can do that, I mean, I always say I am not wired to be in a corporate setting. Mm. Like I don't follow rules well, right? And even my own rules half the time, I don't follow them well. And so I'm very self-aware that part of me being an entrepreneur is that I would not survive in a corporate setting, right? I can't imagine the last bosses I've had, every single one of them said, nobody's Juliet's boss. And it was like, thank God they did that because I wouldn't even have survived in that situation. Okay, so you went from... Yeah,
the recognition that you're an independent worker, which that's an important delineation to draw. Do you like groupthink or would you rather work on a project and come back with your portion?
I don't know. Well, I haven't had a boss since I was like 19 or something. And
Aren't I your boss? Aren't I your boss?
You're bossy.
Come on, just let me believe it.
Bossy.
Just let me believe it.
No. Something in what you said there about your meeting Juliet. I keep hearing this from people that Juliet's very helpful out there in the world. And this is a compliment to
Thank
you.
Thank you.
People keep saying the same thing, that to know you is to have you be supportive. Like if you like someone, you're going to be supportive of them and help them out in the world. And I think
always. It is my heart and soul. And I know Stacy shares that because she likes to be of service to people too. Yeah.
I like this because you surround yourself with people who all kind of have that same thing then. And it makes it easier when we have these guests on the show and I purposefully don't get to know them. One thing that I've found that they commonly have is this niceness, like this really decent person thing going on. Well,
weird.
It would be different though if it, you know, you tend to attract a certain type of people. And if I was put here interviewing people who didn't have that whole niceness thing going, I'd be like, Julia, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Right. I know.
You know what I mean?
It's like, telling. It's telling who we surround ourselves with.
It is. It is. So.
I like promoting good people doing good things, even if I don't fully understand it all the time, you know, like what you're actually doing.
We might have overcomplicated it earlier.
I think we did overcomplicate
it.
There you go.
We'll bring it back. We're going to bring it back around. Okay, I want to know, I'm still in the middle of this trajectory.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. You must have gone into a finance company.
So what happened was the small business that I was working for closed its doors during the Great Recession. I was working for a heat treat company. They were they basically tempered metal. So if you ever want to have a separate dialogue about what that means, happy to unpack that.
I think I could maybe even get in on that one and you, participate.
You have some knowledge in this area. Well,
I mean, not exactly. A ton, not the metallurgy part of it or the science behind it. But yeah, I understand heat tempered metal a little bit. What?
So that factory.
What were you doing there?
I was helping market the very complex. So you just mentioned the word metallurgy. Who knows what that means? The engineers and the science, you know, they know what that means.
Yeah.
And they talk to the other nerdy people. I'm sorry, I just said, right? They talk to the people that understand their language.
Nerds own it now.
Okay.
They're cool.
We're empowering you.
I mean, when we were kids, it was like, oh, you're a nerd. That was bad. Now it's like,
oh my God,
you're such a nerd.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Nerds are cool.
Yes. So, you know, and I came into that company and they said, we have a branding issue. We have a communication issue. And so I helped them rebrand the company, helped them create fact sheet that were simple for the people that were ultimately the ones making the decisions on the products. But again, unfortunately, in the market that we were in, with car manufacturing basically going to null and zip during the Great Recession.
2008.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was 2009, but I think by the time I had separated 9 or 10, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's when things were like the aftermath of it.
And we were in the aftermath. Yeah. And then I was on a hunt and I was sitting in my living room. I remember it clear as day. And I went, what am I going to do with my life? I didn't know about recruiters at the time. And I'm just, who do I call? So I called an old boss and I said, I just feel like here are the skills that I've been learning. I'm just going to tell you where I'm at. Do you know anyone? Right. So I just kind of became sponsored myself to ask a question, to ask someone else to be my sponsor.
Well, that's good.
And they got me in the door at Northwestern Mutual. And that's how I got into finance.
Mm. And did you walk through the door? I'm just curious, as you walked through the door, was there a small office off to the side with a
Janice.
Gal named Janice, who was like smoking cigarettes and drinking Bud Light at noon? No? Okay, just curious.
That was not my experience.
They don't have that either. I think it's coming.
To really understand that, you have to listen to the podcast previous.
It sounds more like a Mad Men.
Melissa
like a
Johnston.
Marketing Mad Men.
Well, it's in the Melissa Johnston.
We'll talk about that. But yeah. Melissa Johnston. Yes.
But did you feel like you fit in right away? Like, because you now end up not in metallurgy.
But what was your position?
A place that does math.
I went in as an assistant. So one thing about me is if I'm rebuilding, right, which I was in a phase of my life where I'm like, I'm rebuilding. I'm a resilient person and I will start anywhere. And I just know myself that I will solve any problem and I will make the best out of that situation.
But you took yourself off the market.
I mean, I wasn't getting any job leads. I didn't know who to call. So I put myself in a position to at least have a job, right? Because that's all I knew. I didn't know how to be an entrepreneur at that point. I just knew how to get a new job.
But you were the person who could go help all these other... I'm sure you're still doing it, but like...
But even though it didn't make sense at the time, looking back now... It has paved the way to who she is today.
Yeah. So are you, because the things that you just said you could help a business do, like, I don't know exactly what my thing is, but I can go in and help you with your systems. I can rebrand you. I can make it make sense so that the outside world understands what it is you do. That's what I'm hearing you say, right?
Right.
Every single small business in the world needs that.
Right.
Because you start a business and you don't know how to do those things. You just know how to do the one thing that made you start the business.
Right.
And then you need to find people who can help you take care of all the rest of that crap.
So herein lies the disconnect for that 30-something year old self. I didn't know that I could brand myself that way. I didn't know that I could start a business. I didn't have that belief in myself. I had besides working within small businesses, I didn't have friends who were entrepreneurs. I didn't know what that really meant.
It's such a big word.
I know, but I didn't know people that really owned their own business. I didn't know that I could do that. Mm-hmm. I never saw that growing up.
Yeah.
My parents always taught me, get a good job. Work your A off, right? And all that's,
I mean,
that's
you grew
it.
Up in St. Cloud.
I grew up in St. Cloud.
Of course they told you that.
That's like, all I
that's
knew
what
to do.
They do.
Hard
there.
Work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard work.
Yeah,
right?
Go work hard for someone and it'll pay off. And there's a lot of good in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you had never, so it's about being around people modeling the thing that you want, that you might even not know that you want, but you're, mm-hmm. if you see them doing it. This is why it's so important to have role models, you know, people of color and women
Absolutely.
Moving into these positions so that they can, so other little kids, so my daughter mm-hmm. can see people doing amazing things and grow up knowing that I'm not the only person in the world saying, you can do anything you want because you're the best there ever was.
Right.
You know?
Well, this is what,
you gotta see it.
This is what Julie and I, we bonded on this, right? We need more women to get into STEM. And there are, I mean, it's devastating how many women stepped away from those industries when if you look at the data and what women have actually contributed, we are the original computer.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's like, you gotta
it's
go back.
It's so sad.
There's a dusty old encyclopedia somewhere that's like, oh yeah, and then when NASA needed to know how to land on the moon, they called in, she wasn't Janice, but it was someone.
Yeah, like, we're just, that's our go-to name.
Yeah.
But Janice.
No, there was Janice. There were a couple of women who were human computers at the time who did these things. I've read these stories.
Well, you can Google it in honor of Women's History Month.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many articles. I just read one recently this week. It's like the top 101 inventions by women, and I would encourage people to go search out there and go be thankful for the women that innovated and came before us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
gave so. Credit to
you know,
other non-women people.
Well, we'll give them credit.
Oh, no, we just took the credit. You didn't have to give it to us. You didn't give me shit. I took it.
I just
but
took
anyway.
It.
Oh, sorry. Speaking on behalf of men in that moment.
Now mine.
Have you set your sights on presidency?
Right.
Well, no, I'm serious. Why the fuck not? I mean, you did this thing, you did that thing. The world needs.
I would vote
our
for
our country. Needs something better than
Let's
what
do
we
this now. Right
no,
in.
No politics.
Kupski.
We don't do politics.
Writing in 2024.
We can do better.
We are going to do better.
Yeah, let's see how I do in 2025 with NABO, and then maybe we'll circle.
Okay.
Yeah, you can work on
it. All right. It's like a training
I'll work
I'm not
on
great
that,
at branding, but.
Training wheels.
I'm not great at branding, but I would maybe make it like Stacey Kupski. Like, it couldn't be worse.
I mean,
you're right.
Pretty
yeah. not good at branding.
You're yeah. not good at branding? No, that's not the... Ah, shit. All right. Well, we could try something else. not great at branding. I'm just saying it's the truth. You know, it's like...
Who knows? Could be chapters ahead. So we left the story at an interesting juncture. We didn't...
Yeah, okay. So you took like an assistant position?
Took an assistant position. I know. I will get us back on
and
track.
Then,
I learned from part one. I learned from part one Wait, just to start
there's,
talking.
There's a lot of swimming around and drowning in this podcast.
I mean, this is the way a conversation is supposed to go. I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and someone's got to bring it back.
That's right.
So
take turns.
You do
Stacey's
that.
Turn.
Ready.
She was an assistant.
Yeah.
And then I'm just guessing. I want to guess. Can I guess?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I'm just guessing that they were like, what the hell is she an assistant for? She's amazing. Let's move her into something else.
No.
Oh, okay.
Damn. That would have been good.
I think there were conversations on trying to draw what else Stacey could be, right? I had mentors within that company, but there was never a, do you want to do the role that I'm in, right? Because I think what happens is you surround yourself with great talent within companies and people are so fearful of the talent leaving or moving up.
Mm-hmm.
There's always someone else to
take in their position.
Right.
There's a little self-preservation. There's a little...
Potentially, or just comfortability, right? I know this person. They do a great job for my business. Why would I want someone else in that seat, right? So I think you have to take initiative when you work within a company. So it wouldn't have happened if not for my husband. We gently talked about him earlier. We know I'm married, but I wouldn't be where I'm at without my husband because I came home one day and I said, honey, I'm in this pickle. I'm miserable because of the number of hours that I'm working for this business, not because of the work I do. I love the work. If not for the work, I would not still be here. but can I be doing this differently? And that's when I had my, what is this idea, right? I had the idea.
Oh, yeah.
I had
that's
the
our
idea.
Show. That's
the
show.
That's yeah. what we're on. Okay.
And so you said to yourself, because you have entrepreneurial tendencies, you're uh-huh. thinking that way, and you're seeing it, and you said to yourself, what about this idea?
That's yeah. right.
Right?
That's yeah. right.
Okay. That's right. What happens. I'm telling you, it's like the spark of everything.
It is. Yeah. You're onto something. Name? Carlton.
Carlton.
With a K.
What about this idea?
Name.
So I said, Carlton, what about this idea? We don't know if I use those words because it's probably trademarked.
No. Right now, well, we can't own that.
Oh, it, we did.
In the past. We did, but.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we did. But not past.
No.
You know, and what he said back to me, Juliet's heard this part of the story, but he said, what's the worst that can happen if you step
one.
Out? And then what's the best thing that could happen? And I sat with that for about 30 minutes and I came back and I answered him. I think he didn't think I was going to, but I said, okay, the worst thing that could happen was I fail miserably and I embarrass myself and people think I'm idiotic for trying to start my own business because I didn't know any other women in finance. And yeah. can a woman even succeed as a financial advisor? I saw a couple, but they didn't look like me, right? They didn't have the same personality. I'm a little goofy. I'm a little, you know, off color sometimes. It's just, I'm different.
Aww,
right? I'm myself.
She's
I'm myself.
Perfect in every way.
You'll bring it back. I'll let you go right back to it after I get this answered. But just a few moments ago, I suggested that your campaign slogan should be, what was it? What's the worst that could happen? What's basically is what I said. Or it couldn't get worse. And then you come around just a few minutes later and you're like, my husband and I were sitting there talking and I said, what's the worst that could happen? And you're like, that guy's a genius. So I'm an idiot.
Context is everything.
When I suggest it.
Okay. Touche. Touche.
Well said.
Yes.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Very well played.
I got that one in there. Now get back to your story.
You did. Paying attention. Mr. Devine.
So I made the decision instead of to go into burnout that I think would probably be my tendency as a type A person that I would, you know, have a tendency to push myself all the way to the limit and just mm-hmm. frazzle and fry.
It's not good for anyone.
It's not. It's not
really
healthy.
Hard on people.
But in this circumstance, I had the vision. I just had the inclination to say, maybe I should change something. Maybe we should have a different result. Maybe I should try a different approach, right? And so we did it. I called a dear friend up again and I said, okay, do you know anyone that is looking for a woman to maybe join their team? I don't know if I am ready to
That's a very positive step in mm-hmm. in a new direction. Just right. to just put it out there into the world. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how we met.
Right.
You know, like just sort of like being not necessarily knowing what exactly mm-hmm. looking for, but just sort of, I know there's something I'm kind of going to just be out there looking around.
Right.
And there it is.
Yeah. And then I pretty much almost squashed it. So I'll tell you what I did.
Yeah. Did you swim to the bottom?
I swam to the bottom. Almost. But I saved it. So he called me back and he said, I have someone I want you to meet. And at the time I was working over 50 hours a week. You know, I was training the assistants. We were about to hire another assistant. And I was like, you know what? I don't have time for this. I'm going to blow him off. And something in me said, take the meeting. Just take the meeting. Don't, right?
I'm always take the meeting kind of guy. Whatever.
Right.
Get in there. Do the meeting.
I haven't always been that way, but yeah. I am now.
You don't have to say yes after yeah. the meeting, but just go in there. See what happens. See what happens.
Yeah. And so you took the meeting. I'm pins and needles.
I took the
story.
Meeting, but I said, I'm going to give him 15 minutes. I'm going to talk to him for 15 minutes and I'm out of there.
That's how you know it's going to be a good
It can't
meeting.
Be good. Right? Yeah. This can't be better than where I am. And I'm just wasting my time. I could be home by now. I could be working on something. I could be being productive.
Oh, no. This is productive. Meeting people.
Know. Little did she know.
Yeah.
So we started a dialogue and I shared my story and I shared what I learned about business. And he said the most incredible thing. He said, you really have a master's in business by working for small
totally.
Business.
Totally.
And I went, I've never connected that dot. So he really helped me to kind of just say, you know, I have a lot to add when it comes to understanding the makeup and the design of a small business owner and their pain points. And I said, you're right. That's incredible. That's incredible insight into like my history and my learnings. And so I was like, okay, this person is really paying attention mm-hmm. to who I am as a human and in my history. And so he's like, you need to lean into that. And I said, okay, here's where. And I said, tell me about your business. And we just had a ping pong, right? And we had a conversation like today. And it ended up being nearly 2 hours.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be.
Nearly 2 hours. Yeah. And we talked about everything from family to why we would want to be in business, just like this.
It was just like this.
And it was just easy.
That is exactly the way every interview should go, even though it wasn't an interview, right?
It wasn't an interview.
It wasn't an interview.
What did it end up being, though? Is this person still, like, are you in business with this person?
Yeah. It ended up being one of my business partners who advocated for me to get into Morgan Stanley. There were already three people in the program that I wanted to become a part of. Somehow, I think through his, probably through a lot of things that happened behind the scenes that he's probably never even told me about, I beat out all three of those candidates. I had to win my interviews, right? I had to win people over.
But you've won. You've won in the past, too.
I've won in the past.
You're somewhat accustomed to winning.
Of course.
Yeah.
I played sports.
Well, I mean, you can see the competitive.
A little bit.
Yeah, which is good. It's good. But yeah, like, oh my gosh, was that your first win?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. No. But, it is fun to say you came in somewhere as an underdog and you came out as, a winner.
Of course it is. It's fun. You got a little ego in there that needs to be fed.
That's your branding too, right? In a sense of, okay, they see me as an underdog, so I need to take that same perspective.
Right.
And show them that what they see as my weakness is actually my strength. Mm-hmm. And the strength within being able to be a part of that team and being someone different.
Okay, can I share a little story?
Yeah.
Let's go back to childhood.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure if this is the right venue for stories, but if you're into that sort of thing, I guess. I mean, we're trying to do a serious show on entrepreneurialism here. But sure, if you want to jump in on a story, you got the floor.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever ask your clients how where did that entrepreneur spirit come from? And I was thinking about that in preparation for today. Mm. And I thought about, again, with my dad having passed, like, he was very instrumental in helping me think like an entrepreneur, although he didn't know and he wasn't an entrepreneur. But I think he set me up for circumstances where, again, even if I was an underdog, so this is an underdog story, I played basketball. Again, we already know I was elbowy. I was small. All the girls, I think this was sixth grade, all the girls were at least a foot taller than me. Mm-hmm. And we were playing, we were in St. Cloud. So all the surrounding communities are farming communities.
Totally.
Big. We breed well in farming communities, right? These are big girls.
Those are girls that.
Yeah.
I grew up in Elk River. I totally understand. I gotcha. Yeah.
So we're playing this basketball game and I was point guard, and this girl will just, what is our go-to name? Well, I don't know. I'll call her Susan.
Janice.
We'll go. Oh, okay.
She can't be Janice.
She
Janice
can be Susan.
Older. Yeah.
Oh, Janice.
So she can be Susan.
Yeah. Gotta be older.
Yeah.
She was younger
then. She can be Susie.
No,
she might have been younger then.
Her age. There are no Janice's your age.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a Susan. That's fine. Sue.
So she was crowding me, right? And I couldn't get the ball passed and I couldn't get the ball in the net and it was frustrating. And I was like, you know what? I was like, coach, you got to bench me. And it was someone called a timeout and my dad's like, just give it your all. And he said something just very simple. And I just knew that coach dad was like, all right, just dig deep in the you that you
have.
Gotta love dads.
Yeah. And just do your best out there, kid.
He's like, just dig deep. You know, he's like, you got this. And I just remember getting like the lowest center of gravity possible. And I was like, next time this girl flies by me, I'm going to check her. Right, I'm a checker real good, just so she knows.
You can't push me around, girl.
You can't push me around. I was like, that's all I knew was get low. And I was like, all right, this is where I die. So I got really low because I'm like, she's going to squash me. I'm going to break every bone in my body.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I just remember a little thud and then cheering. And I was like, what happened? Apparently, the girl flew over the top of me.
Yeah.
And across the court. I was able to make baskets after that. And I was like, yes.
She was afraid of you.
You got in there and you exerted yourself.
And I was like, and my dad told that story at like every time, like for the next like couple of family events. So.
Oh, that's super cute.
I love that. Yeah. So this is you, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Get low.
Get low.
Crouch down.
Give it all you got.
Throw an elbow out there.
I don't know. What do you got?
A little bit of strength. You still can dig up in there to do the scary thing.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we've.
But we have to do our thing.
I know. We've burned through our second half, which is good. It's all good. I mean, we could sit here and do this all day and just keep talking, and we can. I don't care. It's your time, our time. It doesn't matter, right? No, but we're introducing our new segment, our little segmenty thing. Where we ask you And really, it can be as you can be serious with it if you want, or you can be completely like, oh my gosh, I've been sitting on this idea since I was 8. Mm. But like, do you have any? This is what about this idea show, right? Mm. Do you have any ideas that are sitting in there that you're like, I always thought it'd be cool if we could make, you know, leaf flavored ice cream or whatever. And we're like, ugh, what the, anyway, just an idea.
That is the most terrible idea ever. I like it as an example because
I didn't want to lead her into
something better.
Yeah, I didn't want to lead you into
something. Do you have an idea this week?
Do I have an idea?
I have an idea.
Oh, gosh. Well, we'll give you time to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my idea, and it's a little far out there. It's way far out there. What's the
I mean,
Movie Men in Black.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, aliens.
It's the aliens thing. Yeah. And what they would do is they would do their thing, and then they would put the thing up to their face, and they go, and it would go, bing.
Yeah.
And they would forget everything. Right? Yeah. Here's my idea. I think that when you're in a tight spot, like when you're in a tight spot, you're having a hard time. And it's like, you know, conceptually, that getting through this will get you to where you need to be.
You're going to have to persist and get through it.
Yeah. I always say, in order for whatever it is you're dreaming about to come about, you got to be different. Mm. And the only way to be different is for that old self to kind of fall apart.
Mm. And everyone
so that you can rebuild it in the way that supports that vision, yeah. Right? But it's the perspective in depths, in the depths of hurt, in the depths of confusion, that you don't usually have that. And so what I wanted to invent is not where you forget everything, like, bing, but you just get like one tiny glimpse of the future. It bends time. You get a little tiny glimpse of the future.
Juliet.
So you know all this pain that you're going through right now is going to be, you can feel it. You can taste it.
It's great, but it's godlike.
I know. Like, it's a sci-fi one. I mean, sometimes you just have to go out there, right? It's a sci-fi one.
Just a little, just give me, but then is it true future?
Like, it's the true future.
Because then you're like,
because
why
really,
is it so dark and why am I underground?
If you think about time, right? Time as an element, it's not even real. It's not even a thing. Time is not a thing. What do we have? The only thing we have is right now. Hmm. Past is a perception. Right?
She's getting deep on
holy
it.
Holy shit, it got deep.
I'm just making this shit up as we go. Past, but it is.
It's no, like I get it's a construct.
The past changes according to what you're thinking and knowing right now. Hmm. And the future is a concept. Hmm. It's not... It's not even real.
Our perception,
who knows
what
will happen?
A construct of some sort. And
so time is not a real thing anyway. So if we can bend time, like the Golden Compass where they rip through the dimensions, or string theory, anybody? Anybody? Okay.
Okay. So, Stacey, is your idea along those lines? Have you got something?
Somewhere in between leaf ice cream.
leaf flavored ice cream, which is got to be everyone's
bending
favorite.
Bending time and space to get a glimpse into the future.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't had as much time to think about this as either of you.
No.
But I think just it's as I'm right now, something that NABO is doing is we have a catalyst program where we give back to young entrepreneurs, right? To kind of give them that feedback element. And one thing someone said is, I wish that there were more programs to kind of give people hope, which made me think about, I mean, maybe I can have my own podcast or write a book on that, or I could do something where I can, maybe I can't show someone their future, but if we start learning enough from our past, like maybe that would help someone keep stepping over those roots to kind of tie back the early part. And that's all I can think of in the short, you know, 2 minutes that you gave me.
I love that. First, I know a podcast production company called Divine Facts Productions. second, you'd be amazing at that. Yeah. And I think there's not enough attention to those young entrepreneurs. There's not enough attention to entrepreneurial thinking in those ages because frankly, if they aren't going to be entrepreneurial thinking, our future is glim, right? And we need them to be thinking. We need them to be thinking about being gritty, right?
And when we say young entrepreneurs, let's just be very clear. I don't mean necessarily young people, but I mean people who are early
new,
stage.
New.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or have been slugging it out for 10 years and not making any momentum.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was just felt like the right time to raise my hand there. That was I've been slugging it out for a while.
I don't know what happened. My arm just went up.
Yeah, just slugging it out. No, I mean,
I love that. I love that. I really do love it.
The founders community that we're trying to do.
I know, we're building.
It's all in the same vein. I think that there is, I think the reason a lot of this is coming together is because, not that we've lost our way, there will always be people who want to start their own businesses, want to be entrepreneurs, have entrepreneurial thinking, all of that, because that's just, it's like any other human thing. There's going to be some with blonde hair and some with brown hair, and there's, you know, it's just baked into us.
So. Well, and do you want a consistent paycheck, or are you ready to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who, like myself and Juliet, who, I think... You just can't put me into a job. It's just not going to work. I'm very uncomfortable there. I'm more comfortable in the uncomfortableness of creating my own work or whatever. But we can find ways to support them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're going to exist, but we can find ways to acknowledge them, mm-hmm. support them, you know, some companionship within that community. So every time you go to one of these events, it's like, oh my gosh, there are people out there like me. They're all crazy and they have ideas. And they're like, it's all a whole room full of people saying, what about this idea? You know, like,
exactly.
Yeah. I love it.
They're all looking for life hacks. Right?
I like it. I like it. And so you would like to, find ways to give back and help those people, mm-hmm. young entrepreneurs, people on the beginning of their entrepreneurial journey.
So, yeah.
Inspire them to anticipate the roots,
mm-hmm.
be okay about tripping over them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just like write themselves, work the muscle that keeps them standing up.
There I like go. It.
Oh my God. That was so brilliant.
All right. Well, I don't know. I think we solved all of the world's problems. I think it's over.
This was a great one. And I'm sorry, I kind of went on the, you know, sci-fi end, but I still think it was good.
No regrets.
Meaningful.
Oh, no. I mean, if we're going to have to come up with new ones all the time, you and I, you go sci-fi anytime you want. Like, that's
I love
seems
it.
Seems good.
If you start, I like the visual of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, just give me a little
glimpse.
It's like, just let me know just that I'm going to be okay.
Just a tiny glimpse, like that flash.
Yeah.
Men in Black flash.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Well said.
All right. Well, good. I think, Stacy, is there a business that you are currently running where people might want to get in touch with you? And perhaps, I mean, we should do a little promotion of the actual, like they can reach out to you.
I also think she could be a great... resource for young entrepreneurs who need to be able to pad the bank account, I guess, right? In order to be able to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think there's...
What's the name of your company? I don't think we even mentioned it.
No worries. It's Wayzata Bay Private Wealth Management.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds freaking expensive.
I don't think it is.
We help you afford expensive.
Oh, I mean, Wayzata Bay. If you're from Minnesota, that sounds pretty pricey. I like it, though.
Yeah.
It sounds good. It's like Divine Fox Global Enterprises.
This is like, I think that's interesting to say that. That's really good. This is like almost like you need a Janus in the front door, right? Like you need, because to the normal mm-hmm. person, that might seem intimidating, right? Like, why is that
anything with a Prior Bay.
Lake or, you know, whatever it is, right? In that, really what they're not there to take your wealth. Mm-hmm. You are there
to help them build it.
Help them build it.
Exactly.
Build the dream.
Mm-hmm.
The field of dreams.
I'll tell you what. I'll make this arrangement. If you're an entrepreneur and that seems intimidating to reach out and talk to them, we'll set up a day in the future. Reach out to me and we'll go in there together. I'll have a couple of warm Bud Lights in the trunk.
Lock arms.
I'm just kidding. I hate Bud Light.
Like Wizard of Oz.
But we'll walk in and we'll be like, look, don't feed me any of that crap. Just tell me what you're doing. Why am I here and how can you help me?
There you go.
Yeah? Can we do that?
Yeah.
But I like her approach too. She mentioned it earlier. It's mm-hmm. like, what is it what is it you're living for, you know? Mm-hmm. What is it you want to create?
I liked it too. What, and once I got to understand what it is.
It's that, and I think my word, you know, everyone always says, what's your word that someone could describe you at, right? Like Oprah's hope or whatever Oprah's word is, right? What's the one word? And I think the word that I want people to associate with me is like, I help people get to their potential, right? That's moving potential. The roadblocks out of the way and helping them see all that they could become. So it's potential.
I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't end it on that. Right? I mean,
mic drop.
Thank you. Yeah, Stacey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Even more impressed.
Awesome.
And
done.
Done.
Don't cry. It's over.
Oh, you did it. You made it to the very end of the show. You know what you can do to help us? What can they do to help us? They can tell their friends how awesome the show is.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
You know what else? And I don't know if people know this or don't know this, but like if you found us and you see us on socials somewhere, just hit repost or you know, share it with your community.
Share, repost, follow. Isn't there a follow option?
Yeah, of some follow, kind? Subscribe. We're not going to charge you anything.
No.
Just hit the subscribe button.
No. It's we not just hurt need you. To create a community around entrepreneurism and how the real shit happens.
I like it. Well, because we're real. You said it in the intro.
Real, real, real.
We talk real. No, seriously, tell your friends. What a great show. Oh, my gosh, these people are doing the best work ever. Yeah, right?
That's what you should say.
Yeah.
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 And just come back. Have fun with us. We love this.
We'll have someone, we'll interview someone cool next week, too.
Someone completely different.
Yeah, from prison. Thanks.
We always have to have that.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.